And let's stand to our feet at this time. And we're going to... Our text today is John chapter 20. And we're, in, out of respect for the Word of God, we're going to stand for this reading. It's John 20. And we're going to be reading verses 18 through 20. In just a moment, you're going to hear more from that passage. But those are what we are going to concentrate on this resurrection day. So John 20, verses 18 through 20. John 20, 18 through 20. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. You may be seated. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it has the power to speak to us, to change us. And on this resurrection day, God, we want to encounter you. Just as the disciples have encountered you, God, we desire to encounter you. And we thank you, God, for this time that the word is preached, it is presented in a clear way. Help me as I speak. And Father, that you would be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
The question I pose to you today is, what happens when Jesus walks through walls?
Praise God.
What happens when Jesus walks through walls? You know, I envision that Jesus has more superhero power than anyone could even possibly imagine. He is not fictitious. He's not a Marvel character. He is not a DC character. He is real. And the Word of God tells us that he actually appeared, we just read that, to his disciples, and the doors were locked. They were locked and there was no way to get in. And I can just imagine that he literally just walked through the wall.
Yeah.
Just, oh, I think I need to go here. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the only time that he did that. We're going to see that some other times he did that, because the Bible tells us that he appeared alive to his disciples many days before he was ascended into heaven. So we're going to see and we're going to understand a little bit now, after the empty tomb, as I was praying and saying, God, what would I bring on this Resurrection Sunday? I felt like the Lord said to me that it was time to talk about what happens when Jesus walks through walls. Turn to your neighbor and say, what happens when Jesus walks through walls? To illustrate this a little better, we're going to go a little deeper in the story. And I'm going to ask my daughter Sarah to come, and she's going to read the account from John chapter 20. And then I am going to share with you my thoughts of what I think Thomas, sometimes we've called him Doubting Thomas. I don't like that name for him, because I think that he probably had more faith than he gets credit for.
That's right.
But I'm going to share with you what I feel like some of that internal struggle is going to be, and then I'm going to share with you several points that are going to help you in your life as you walk through this week. All right, so, Sarah.
Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Amen.
I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to imagine that scene. And then I want you to hear, this is how I have interpreted what Thomas may have gone through. "I wanted to believe them. They said they saw him. There were so many emotions flooded my mind, fear, failure. What could I have done to save him? Guilt. I wanted to believe them. But they saw him alive. Not just a vision or a dream. They saw him in flesh and blood, alive. I wanted to believe that. They said he walked through walls. How is that even possible? They said when he came among them, he said, "Peace be with you. Shalom." Nothing broken, nothing missing. He showed them his hands, his side. I wasn't there. I couldn't believe it. Not after everything that we went through. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I mean, some of us from a distance, we saw him give up his spirit. I watched him die. We all did. And when you see something so horrible, so unjust, so wrong, so final, and it happens in front of you, you don't just fix it with delusions or a wish or hopeful thinking or make-believe. So I voiced my doubt. And what I felt when they were telling me they saw him. Unless I see the marks in his hand, unless I touch where the spear went in, I will not believe. And it wasn't because I didn't love him. No, I loved him. I was willing to die for him. When we were at Bethany, I said, "Let's go. We might die, but let's go." I loved him, and it hurt too much to hope again, to believe again, to have faith again. And then, just a week later, we were still agonizing in that same room. The walls were closing in on me. The same locked doors, the same nagging doubt. Failure. I failed him when he needed me the most. Oh, the fear. What were they going to do to us now? Depression. Anxiety. And then suddenly, he walked through the wall again. And I heard that familiar voice. The strong presence standing among us. As calm as a sunrise. He looked right at me. Not with anger, not with disappointment, but with pure mercy. He said, "Thomas, come here. Touch my hands. Place your hand in my side. Stop doubting. Only believe." I didn't need much. I didn't even really need to touch or feel him, because something happened in that moment. My doubt turned to wonder. My fear turned to faith. The walls of doubt, my fear and my failure, they vanished in his love right before me. And all I could say was, "My Lord and my God." For everyone who has ever doubted, you're not alone. He's not afraid of your questions. He's not distant from your pain, your anxiety, your guilt, your fear, your confusion. He comes through the wall for you. He calls you by name, and he offers you peace. Shalom. Nothing broken. Nothing missing. Not just to Thomas, but to you. Hallelujah. You may open your eyes. As I think about Thomas's journey, I think about the fact that Thomas ended up going further than any other disciple. They say he died in India preaching the gospel. In fact, if you'll notice, many folks that are from India, they have a last name Thomas. And that has a lot to do with the legacy that Thomas left. And I think about the fact that Thomas went through a season of doubt. Listen, God can handle your questions. Don't be afraid to ask him. Don't be afraid to talk to him, to be real with him, to wrestle with your faith, and to come to that knowledge that he's real. And he's just as real to you today as he was to Thomas on that day that Jesus walked through the walls. Yeah. We see in verse 19 through 20 of John chapter 20, we see that fear was a very real thing for these followers of Jesus. They were afraid what was going to happen to them. They're in a locked room wondering what's next. But I want you to know, when Jesus walks through walls, fear falls. And peace, nothing broken, the shalom of God, that prevails. Yes. Peace prevails. So fear falls and peace prevails. So if you're here today, perhaps you can identify with Thomas in some way. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's failure. Maybe it's just, "I need to be forgiven." Whatever that wall that is seemingly closing you in, Jesus wants to walk through that wall for you. When Jesus walks through walls, fear fails. It's gone. It's gone.
Yes.
Fear. The Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." And when perfect love comes, fear can't stay. So if you feel like you're walled in with fear, be of good cheer, because Jesus is walking towards you right now. He's walking toward you, and he's walking through walls. Failures fade, and forgiveness flows. We see that in verse 22 through 23, that whatever their failures were as followers of Christ, they were now forgiven, and a spirit of joy took over the room. When Jesus walks through walls, guilt goes and grace grows. Guilt goes, it leaves, and grace grows. I love the definition that I learned several years ago about grace. Grace is God's power, his passion, and his ability to do inside of you what you can't do yourself. You know, sometimes as a youth minister, and even as a minister, people will say, "It's just so hard to live a Christian life." I got news for you. Grace is the answer. Not a license to sin. There is no such thing. It is power to live above it. It's the ability to say no. It is the ability to please God and walk with him in strength and in power. So when Jesus walks through walls, when he walks through walls, guilt goes and grace grows. When Jesus walks through walls, doubts disappear and faith flourishes. Thomas's doubts disappeared. They didn't stay long.
Praise God.
And your doubts don't have to stay long. And sometimes your doubts have a voice that seems like they're ready to just move in to your head. I mean, they're unpacking their suitcase. They don't have to stay. Doubts can disappear and faith can flourish. When Jesus walks through walls, confusion crumbles and purpose prevails.
Thank you.
Let's look at verse 30 specifically for time's sake. In verse 30 of John chapter 20, we see that Jesus gives us a commission. It is a commission to live for him. It's a commission to spread the word of who he is in our lives. And when we look at verse 30 and 31 of John chapter 20, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe." Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you may have life in his name.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad we're people of faith, aren't you?
Yes.
Jesus walks through walls. What can we learn from these 5 points? What can we learn from the fact that he can walk through walls and fear can't stay. Fear falls, peace prevails. Fear falls, and peace prevails. And then we see that failures fade. Have you ever beat yourself up for something you messed up on? Your failures can fade when Jesus walks through the wall of failure. And forgiveness flows like nothing else. And aren't you glad that with forgiveness, the guilt goes? It cannot stay. And grace, God's power, His passion, His ability to do inside of you. Man, doing what you can't do. Just like the communion meal that we just had, God handles both sides of it. Living the Christian life, as hard as it may seem, God gives you grace. That's power. That's power to do it. That's power to live it. That's power to be it. So guilt goes and grace grows. Doubts disappear. Faith flourishes. And the last one was confusion crumbles and purpose prevails. Verse 21, Jesus succinctly gives that purpose. And he said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you." Verse 22 says, And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Clearly, these disciples were forgiven and empowered. The new birth, being born again. John chapter 3, Jesus said, "You must be born again." That was exactly where it happened for the disciples. Because up until that time, they were still living under old covenant. They still had to keep all of the laws in order to be right with God. But at the moment that Jesus breathed on them, their dead, lifeless human spirit became alive to God. And God made his home on the inside. And so his purpose of actually redeeming mankind, that was the first instance we see people getting born again. Right there. Verse 21 of John chapter 20. So what are some other takeaways that we can glean from this? I just want to say this to you. Whatever you lock in fear, he enters in freedom. Whatever you lock in fear, he enters with freedom. What weighs you down, he washes away. What you broke in failure, he mends in mercy. Yes. What you doubt in darkness, yes, he proves in light. Yes. And what confuses you is replaced by mission and meaning. Only God can do that. So what symbolic wall represents you on this Resurrection Sunday? Is it the symbolic wall of fear? Of failure? Of guilt? Of doubt? Of confusion? I can only imagine what those disciples were like before Jesus appeared to them. Wow. Yeah. Jesus is walking through your wall today. Mm-hmm. He's bringing you peace. He's bringing you love. The word tells us that there was joy that they saw him. There's forgiveness. There's grace. There's faith. There's purpose. So whatever wall you find yourself enclosed, maybe it was a wall that you put yourself into to protect yourself, but now you feel like you're isolated. God wants to break through that wall. Jesus wants to walk through and bring you what you need.
Yes, Lord.
Just as Jesus restored Thomas, we see in chapter 21, he restores Peter, the man who denied Jesus. And you say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I did. You're right. You don't know what all I've done. But I know what he's done. And because of what he's done, I can now walk free out of the prison of my own making. I can walk free because Jesus walks through walls. And I'm so thankful. Are you thankful today?
Amen.
So I don't know which one resonates with you. Maybe it's more than one. Maybe it's one that I didn't list. But you could imagine what that wall looks like and how it feels like it's closing in on you. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray that Jesus walks through that wall and that he becomes more real to you this week than you have ever experienced him in your entire life. So now I'm just going to ask you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I feel like I am in a walled room and I need Jesus to walk through. And you're willing to invite him to walk into that place. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place right now, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to just ask him. You say, Pastor, I've known the Lord my whole life, or maybe I've known the Lord for years, or maybe you're not that far away from him, but you're still feeling a wall of fear, a wall of anxiety, a wall that makes you feel like you're alone. God wants to manifest his goodness to you today. He wants to minister to the believer who's not so far away, and maybe the one that has walked away, maybe the one that has never been in Father's house. So right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. But I feel like I'm in a walled place. And I need Jesus to walk through the wall. Now, I'm going to give a second invitation for those that have been away from God and those that have never asked Jesus into their life. But right now, I'm talking to believers. And I'm just asking you, if there's a place where you feel walled in with fear, with guilt, failure, confusion, or even doubt, and you want me to pray for you this morning, I want you to raise up your hand so I can see it. And as soon as I see that hand, you can put it down. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? You say, pray for me. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Praise God. All right. I'm going to be praying for the believers right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite you, Lord, to walk through those walls of doubt, those walls of regret, of unforgiveness, whatever that wall is, we thank you, Father God, that Jesus walks through it right now. We're inviting you into that space, into that place. Even as painful as it might be, we're inviting you, Jesus, walk through the wall. And we thank you that your love and your mercy and your grace help us. In Jesus' name. Now, while your heads are still bowed and your eyes are still closed, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, but this morning you want to ask him, you want to start a new life with him, or perhaps you walked away and even deconstructed your faith, but your faith seems to be calling you back. And if that's you, and you want to recommit your life to him, I want you to raise up your hand and say, please pray for me, Pastor. I'm either coming to Christ or I'm recommitting my life to Christ. Is there anybody in this place that would be you? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Praise God. Let's all just pray a real simple prayer together right now. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he rose from the dead for me. I receive his forgiveness and I call Jesus my Lord, my Savior from this day on. And Jesus, walk through my walls today. Set me free like only you can. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed a prayer like that and you just really felt like God was really tugging at your heart, I want to know about it. Before you leave, come and talk to me. I'm just going to be available. Tell somebody. If you can't tell me, tell somebody that you know who walks with God. Hey, listen, God got a hold of my life today. God touched me today. If you're a believer in here and you felt like Jesus literally walked through the walls that have been encasing you, the doors have been locked, but Jesus just walked in because he can do that. And if that's you today and you felt like God really released you from something, I want to know about it. I want you to tell us, tell somebody what Jesus has done for you today. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet on this resurrection day and let's say our sending out verse right now. Let's speak it over our lives, over our hearts, over our families. Say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. He is risen! Glory to God. You are dismissed.